Would you recognize Jesus? And I got the idea for this short talk from a song by the Statler Brothers that I'd heard my dad and my uncle sing. And it's an older song. I found this out when I tried to look up the lyrics, and I couldn't find them anywhere. Searched the internet for several hours, and finally gave up on that and just got my dad and my uncle to give me the lyrics directly. So we'll read the first verse. It reads, "If you've never fed the hungry and gave clothes to the poor, if you've never helped a stranger who came knocking at your door, if you forgot to send some flowers to a sick and shut-in friend, well, if you ain't helping none of these, then you ain't helping him." And we need to recognize all these people, the hungry, the poor, the naked, the strangers, the sick. We need to recognize that what we do to these is what we're doing to Jesus. This verse is almost directly taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So we can see from this verse, we need to recognize that Jesus is all these people, and how we treat other people does matter, because that's how we're treating the Lord. The second verse of the song and the chorus read, "If you ever watch some children play ball behind the school, if you ever watch an old man plow ground behind a mule, if you ever stopped and listened when you couldn't hear a sound, then brother, you have met him, because Jesus gets around. Would you recognize Jesus if you met him face to face, or would you wonder if he's just someone you couldn't place? You may not find him coming in a chariot of the Lord. Jesus could be riding in a 49 Ford." And that's just, you know, just a clever way of saying, you know, Jesus isn't always going to come as we expect. We may see him he didn't come to the world the first time as they expected him. And, you know, we need to be on the lookout to recognize him when we see him. And tonight we want to ask ourselves the question, do we recognize Jesus? And it's not the silly question it seems, because, you know, his own people, as I just said, didn't recognize him when he came the first time. John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And in our Sunday morning class, we've been studying the book of John, and we see over and over again how the chief priests and Pharisees and scribes and elders, you know, all these people that should have known, you know, what to expect when Jesus came, they should have, you know, been studying the scriptures, they should have been expecting Jesus, and they, you know, completely missed it. And it went to the point where some of the Jews even sought to kill him. And in John chapter 5 and verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." And I think from listening to the comments made in the study, one of the main reasons the Pharisees didn't recognize him was they had a preconceived notion of what they thought Jesus should be. They thought, you know, Jesus was going to be this mighty conqueror, the Messiah coming to restore the kingdom to its previous amount of glory. And that they got so caught up in expecting that they just completely missed him when he did come, because that wasn't the Messiah that they were expecting. And, you know, that applies today. I have a lot of friends who, you know, view God and Jesus as, you know, they're just these characters of love. You know, they don't have any, you know, they just love everyone. They want to treat everyone good. Nothing bad is going to happen because God loves everyone. And that's, you know, not true. We read, there's verses in the Bible, God is a wrath, you know, the wrath of the Lord came upon Israel in the Old Testament many times. And we can read in the New Testament even that God will punish the unrighteous. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So yeah, it's true that God is love, but he's not going to treat everyone with love and just forget about all their sins unless they, you know, genuinely repent of them. And when I, you know, point this out to my friends and, you know, people I associate with, they, you know, well, you know, you're just, you know, God is love, and they just keep trying to go back to that verse. And, you know, we need to take the Bible as a whole. We can't just pick and choose verses. And it's a lot like the Pharisees. They have a view of Jesus, and they just refuse to see him in any other way than how they view him. Another reason the Pharisees didn't recognize him is I believe they got too caught up in their traditions, and they viewed them seemingly as equal with the law. And in at least one circumstance, they made their tradition more important than God's commandments. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, we read, "And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." And we need to be careful of this today, because it's, you know, traditions are still a danger. Just because we've done something in the worship service that it's always been done in this certain way, that doesn't necessarily mean it's right. And I'm not saying we're doing anything wrong, but, you know, if we find out, you know, if someone uses the Bible correctly and shows us we're doing something in error, then we need to be open to that, and we need to change. And, you know, just, well, we've always done it this way, you know, that's not right if we can see in the Bible that it's wrong. And we can't just accept every new doctrine we hear, of course, you know, that'd be ridiculous, but we need to be like the Bereans and make sure what we're doing and what we're being taught is right. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Now, today, Jesus is not in this world physically. Of course, we know that. He left. He ascended to heaven. We can read about that in Acts, the first chapter. But we can still see him in people's lives. And, you know, we see good people, you know, they'll go and we hear about blood drives and people donating to charities all the time. And, you know, they may not have everything right, but they genuinely want to help others. And you can see Jesus in that. You know, they want to be, you know, they're emulating Jesus in that they want to help everyone that they can. But especially in Christians, we should be able to see this. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So as Christians, we need to be following Christ's example. And when we see, you know, when we do these things, we need to realize that it's not just because we're good people, but because Christ is living in us. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And that's just as applicable to us today as it was to Paul when he wrote it some 2,000 years ago. Christ is living in us today, even as he was in Paul back then. And lastly, I want to look at the final verse of the song. "You can find him in your mama's eyes and in your daddy's face. You'll find he's always there to help you win the human race. You can find him in the mountains, downtown, and by the sea. By God, let's hope that someone can find him in you and me." We need to live our lives in such a way that people can recognize Jesus living inside of us. And we'll close with Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Thank you.